Revelation chapter 5. As we continue our series, Heaven is Home. Today I want to look at the worship of heaven. What is the worship of heaven like? How does it compare to our acts of worship here? Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Last Sabbath morning, we considered the believer's welcome to heaven. And upon our arrival in heaven, surely one of the first things that we will be involved in will be to glorify God in worship. How does our worship services then differ or compare to the worship of heaven? Well, we should always endeavor to make sure that when we gather for worship, we should experience a little of heaven upon earth. I, for one, am glad that what we see in some churches that goes under the name of worship is not what we will be engaging in when we get to heaven. Our worship here on earth should be as heavenly as we can make it with the help of the Spirit of God and the grace of God. For one of the truths the Lord taught his disciples with regard to prayer was, Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And so what is done in heaven, we ought to endeavor to do here upon earth. And that most certainly would include our worship. Our English word worship means worth-ship, and it simply means deserving or merited. And so we worship our God because He is worthy. That's what worship means. We worship God because He is worthy of our worship. You look there in chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb. And of course, in our text, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. We worship God because He is worthy of our worship. There are four Hebrew words that are translated worship in our authorized version of Scripture. The one used most of all is Shashai. And it means to bow down. It is first used in Scripture in Genesis 18 and verse 2, where Abraham bowed down to the three visitors, one of whom was the Lord from heaven. Abraham knew what to do. He bowed down before the Lord because he is worthy. The key Greek word is proskuneo. And that Greek word means to kiss toward, and conveys the idea of showing reverence or obeisance to God. You turn to John chapter 4, the words of the Savior. John chapter 4, we read in verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father is seeking for those who believe that he is worthy of our worship. May we ever be found in that number. True worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You notice the emphasis there. The number of times worship and worshippers are mentioned. And so when we come before our Father, when we come before His Son, when we come before Him in the Spirit, and by the Spirit of God, we are to worship the Triune God, because the Triune God is worthy of our worship. And when we enter heaven and join our voices with other glorified saints, our worship then will be of the truest, purest, holiest form of worship that we have ever been involved in. And this portion of Scripture affords us a glimpse of what the worship in heaven will be like for we who are redeemed. First of all, we see in heaven there is an atmosphere of worship in heaven. When we leave this scene of time and enter glory, we shall enter into an atmosphere of worship. There will be no set times to engage in worship in heaven, but there will be an eternal atmosphere of worship, of praise, and of glorifying God. Just that in itself makes heaven so attractive. There will be, first of all, in this atmosphere of worship, there will be the praising of the Lord. In this world in which we abide, we must endure an atmosphere of anti-Christian attitude and sentiment. And for God's people, it can be vexing at times, as it was for that righteous man, Lot, when he abode in the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah. For we read in 2 Peter, we have a record there of how Lot was greatly vexed. 2 Peter 2, and in verse 7 and 8, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Have we not been vexed also with the filthy conversation of the wicked? For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That could be our commentary today. For that righteous man dwelling among them, we're in the world, we're not off the world. We dwell amongst the ungodly of the world. Dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. There was never a day in which the righteous soul of Lot was not vexed. Every day he was vexed by what he saw and what he heard. But we can say, glory to God in heaven, it will be different. There we truly will worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And what's more, that's the atmosphere our souls will be in continually. This we know from Revelation 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. This is just how John described it. And no doubt there were things that John saw that he couldn't really put into words. And so he did the best that he could in describing what he saw. And he talked about four beasts. He talked about them as one having a face like a lion, the second like a calf, the third like a beast, and the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts, each of them had six wings about it, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. That's the point. We're not going to take up our time trying to explain and to identify the four beasts. But what we do want to focus on is the fact that they rest not day and night saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And so when we enter heaven, that's what we will hear all the time for all eternity. The Lord's name being lifted up. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That's the atmosphere of heaven. That atmosphere we will enjoy. And what a difference that will be from living in a world where we hear the Lord's name taken in vain every day. No matter where we go, it seems, we hear the ungodly language from men who know not God and care little about their soul and about eternity. And they mock even hell, the things that they say about hell. If only they knew what hell is really like, they wouldn't speak so glibly about that awful place. Look at Revelation 5 and 9, our text for today, and we read there, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. You take those words, they sung a new song. Those words are in the present tense. Not past tense, not future tense, but present tense, which means that the four creatures and the 24 elders did not stop singing the new song. And we can speak about the 24 elders as representing the redeemed in heaven. Just as our elders here represent us. They have the oversight of our congregation. And the 24 elders in heaven represent the redeemed of the Lord. We know that from our text, verse 9. But when they sing the new song, they go on singing the new song. It is an eternal song. When we enter heaven, we shall hear the 24 elders singing the new song. And as the redeemed of the Lord, we will join in the singing of the new song. The new song that the Lord put in our hearts will not stop singing that song, which emphasizes again the atmosphere of worship which is in heaven. An atmosphere which every blood-bought soul will enjoy someday. As well as the praising of the Lord, there will be the preeminence of the Lord in this worship in heaven. We notice clearly that in the worship of heaven, it's not saints or even the celestial beings which are worshipped. It's not Abraham who's worshipped, or Isaac, or Jacob, or Daniel, or Samuel, or David. No. The Lord is the one who is worshipped. The Lamb of God is the one who is worthy of all worship and adoration. Verse 5, And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Notice, Christ is in the midst of all things in heaven. He's in the midst of the throne. He's in the midst of the 4 beasts. He's in the midst of the 24 elders. That means he's in the midst of everything in heaven. The Lord Jesus is the preeminent one in glory. Christ is central to all which takes place in heaven. Look at those words again of verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. What does that tell us? That tells us he's the sovereign Lamb. He's in the midst of the throne. Sovereigns occupy thrones. And Christ is the sovereign Lamb in the midst of the throne. But look again. In the midst of the throne stood a lamb as it had been slain. So he's not only the sovereign Lamb, he's the slain Lamb in heaven. That's why he's in the midst. But then you look again. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. So the lamb was slain. But in heaven the lamb is standing, speaking to us of his glorious victory. The grave couldn't hold him. His enemies couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. For he rose victorious over the grave. And Christ is the victorious Lamb standing in the midst of heaven. He's the sovereign Lamb, he's the slain Lamb, and he's also the standing Lamb. He who was slain is now standing, risen and victorious, and in his rightful place in the midst of the throne. That's why we read that they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb." When we come to our worship services, and we sing the hymns, believer, we ought to enter into the singing of those hymns with all of our heart. Because the Lord is worthy. Why? Because he's the sovereign Lamb. Because he's the slain Lamb. Because he's the Lamb who is standing in the midst of glory. Because he's been victorious. He's our champion. He's the captain of our salvation. He has slain all of his and our enemies. That's what worship is like in heaven. That's what we will experience when we get to heaven. Just as he's always worshipped in heaven, so we ought always to worship him here. Not the man, but the Master. The sovereign Lord is worthy of all our praise. He ought to be exalted in our praise. He ought to be exalted in our preaching. He ought to be exalted in our praying. He ought to be exalted in our practice. And just as was played this morning before the service commenced, crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne. Hark how heavenly anthems drown all music but his own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. That's what worship is like in heaven. As the psalmist says, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Let us remember these things when we engage our hearts in worship. We next notice the posture before the Lord. Look at the posture of the worshippers. When all of heaven worshipped the Lord, a certain posture was adopted. Chapter 4, verse 10, and the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him. Fell down before him. That was their posture. Chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book of four and beasts and the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. Verse 14. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. This is the usual posture of profound worship. When we come together to worship, we may not be able to literally fall down and worship him, but we can most certainly do it in our hearts. That is what God demands of those who worship him. He demands heart worship. We don't want to, when we come to the Lord's house, to pay our God, our great King, mere lip service. That's not how it is done in heaven. That's not how the worshippers in heaven believe. They do not pay the Lord lip service. They fall down and worship him and sing his praise. Thou art worthy. That's the kind of worship the Lord demands of us. Not the worship of the Pharisees. Matthew 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That is something, believer. We will always endeavor to guard against things coming into our services that are man-made. Things that come into our services that man thinks, oh, that would be good. But those man-made ideas and those man-made methods will not bring honor and glory to God. We must always worship the Lord in a scriptural way. It must always be in a scriptural way. And when we worship, we will endeavor to follow what the Bible teaches about worship, not what some man thinks, not putting into practice some idea that some man has. It must always be scriptural. Sola Scriptura. The great battle cry of the Reformation. The Scriptures only. The Scriptures only. There can be no doubt that our worship of the Lord in heaven will always be from the heart. So why not be from the heart here? John Bunyan once said, "Rather let thy heart be without words than thy words be without heart." Think of that, what he said. Rather let thy heart be without words rather than thy words be without heart. We sing the words of the Psalms. We sing the words of the hymns. May our heart always be in those words. No matter how familiar the psalm or the hymn may be, let us always give attention to the words that we're singing. The fact that heaven fell down before the Lamb speaks of a holy respect and a holy reverence for the one who was on the throne. And of all places on earth where reverence should be found, it is in the place of worship. It is in God's house. We are in God's house. If we went to someone else's house, we would never dream of running through all the rooms in the house. We would have some respect for the homeowner. We would take our place in the home and sit there and enjoy the fellowship. So when we come to God's house, the house of God, then there must be reverence. There must be respect for the house of God. Because we are in God's presence. Listen to this word from the psalmist. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. So we're talking about a congregation. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. That would be a good text of scripture to put up in our church, to put on the door there as folk enter in. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Psalm 89, verse 7. You take that word reverence. It is a word which means to be feared. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence means to be feared. And we have seen, thankfully, not in our denomination, not that we're any better than anybody else, but we have seen in some congregations a behavior that is called worship that really shows there is no fear of God before their eyes. Tend to forget if it's a service of worship and they're gathered in God's house, then God is there in His house. And we are to conduct ourselves accordingly. The way that some act in God's house, the way they address God, they forget Hebrews 12, verse 29, God is a consuming fire. With some there is an unhealthy, unholy familiarity with God, where worshippers think they can be chummy with the Lord. I can't abide it. I can't have it all. We need to remember who God is. He's a consuming fire. He is the Almighty. And this unfamiliarity with God only proves that the worshipper doesn't really know the Lord. Doesn't know who God is. Such an attitude is nowhere to be found in the worship of the Lord in heaven. So we have considered the atmosphere of worship in heaven. Then we notice the assembly at worship in heaven. You know, the Savior once said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Luke 12, verse 32. Little flock. Well, the great shepherd's flock may appear to us as we sojourn through this world. It may appear to us to be very small indeed. But it'll be different when we get to heaven. For we notice, first of all, the multitude before the Lord. Here in this vision of John, he tells us about the assembly which engaged in the worship of the Lamb, as well as the four creatures and the 24 elders who are representative of the saints in glory. Verse 9. We are told in verse 11, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them." The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You know what that makes? That makes 100 million. That's a big congregation. We may enjoy the singing of a male voice choir, maybe 200 or 300 voices. What will it be like in heaven when we listen to 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb"? Just thinking about it would give you goosebumps. When you think of this great multitude, this great congregation, exalting the Lord, praising our God, Daniel had a similar vision. We'll not turn it up, but you can look up Daniel 7, verses 9 and 10. He saw the same thing. And oh, what a sight and what a sound and what a song, but oh, what a Savior. A great multitude, and yet there is order. A great multitude, and yet there is reverence. A great multitude, and there is the Lamb in the midst. We speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair. And oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? To be there. To be there. Oh, what must it be to be there? To be there, to be there. Oh, what must it be to be there? So we have seen the multitude before the Lord. And then we have the ministry unto the Lord. We gather in God's house to worship our Lord and to be ministered unto through His Word. But let us not forget that when we come to God's house, we do so to minister to the Lord. We do so by our service, by our supplication, and of course by our singing. We're ministering unto the Lord. The psalmist has said, we sang 100th Psalm this morning, Psalm 145, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. That's how we are to come into God's house. Again, we're exhorted, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. So it is. Don't we enjoy being in God's house? Don't we love being here on the Lord's day? Oh, there's not 200 or 300 of us. But that doesn't matter in that sense. We enjoy being here. Whether we be many or few, it is pleasant for us to be here. Some sounds and songs which are described as praising the Lord are far from being pleasant. Some modern day evangelists, some modern-day conference speakers have given their blessing to what goes under the name of Christian rap music or Christian hip-hop music. Used to be Christian rock music was the whole go and was brought into churches to attract young people. Well, now it's Christian hip-hop and it is Christian rap music. Two of the leading so-called Christian rap artists is a man by the name of Lecrae and another man who calls himself Propaganda. And these individuals have appeared at conferences where these evangelical ministers have been speaking. Oh, they say, but it's not a worship service. It's not as if we're in church. It's really a conference. I don't accept that at all. Not for one moment. Doesn't matter where we gather. If we are going to sing the praises of the Lord, it is an act of worship. But these characters, I've seen them on the internet as just to investigate them. I was told about them and I had to find out for myself. I couldn't listen to it more than a matter of seconds. There they are on stage and the lights, the strobe lights are flashing across the stage. And there are hundreds, maybe thousands of young people standing right up at the stage and they're waving their hands and their young girls are screaming. And that's supposed to be the worship of God. I have another word for it. It's an abomination. I don't care what those singers claim to be. I don't care what they claim to be. When Isaiah saw the Lord, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. But what have these characters done? They brought the name of the Lord down. And brought the name of the Lord down into a form of worship that is nothing better than a rock concert. That's what it is. There's nowhere in the Bible that we read of such behavior in the worship of the Lord in heaven. And these singers, they have hair down here, down past their shoulders. The Bible says it is a shame for a man to have long hair. It's a shame. Oh, but they're trying to win the young people, we're told. And one of these men who has great following commended this boy propaganda for what he's doing, and he's using rap music to reach the young people. To me, it's a disgrace. An absolute disgrace. When they use that sort of music, if you can call it that, to bring the gospel saving grace to the young people of today. We've just read Revelation 5. We've been reading how the Lord was worshipped. That's how he's to be worshipped here. Nothing else. I must go quickly. The time is gone. There is the magnifying of the Lord. The multitudes in heaven will spend eternity magnifying the Lord. You will notice the central theme of the worship in heaven. It's the cross work of Christ. Chapter 5, verse 6. In the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. There's the cross. Verse 9. They sung a new song, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us." There's the cross. And verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." There's the cross. You recall when the Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transfigured before the disciples. Moses and Elias stood beside him and they were in conversation. What did they talk about? They talked about his cross. That's the conversation of heaven. The cross work of Christ, Luke 9 verses 30 and 31. number of years ago, the Irish Presbyterian Church revised their hymn book and they removed all the hymns that spoke about the blood. Didn't want to know anything about the cross. Praise the Lord, we sang that hymn today, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Give us more hymns that exalt the blood. Give us more hymns that speak of the cross. Give us more hymns that speak about the Lamb. Give us more hymns that tell us about the story and the way of salvation. In the last place, you have the attitude to worship in heaven. First of all, it's spontaneous. Upon seeing the Lord or hearing about the Lord, we are told they fell down and worshipped Him. And they sang with a loud voice. We'll all be able to sing well then. And not be singing out of tune or off key. But we should not allow that to hinder us from singing here. I take comfort in the words of the psalmist who made a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what it's about. Let us sing with a loud voice. Sing it out. And in our singing, let us lift up Christ. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Psalm 34, verse 3. Spontaneous and sincere. There's no doubt about that. They fell down and worshipped Him. There's their posture. We noted it in their praise. They were sincere. And in their proclamation, they made it known, worthy is the Lord, worthy is the Lamb. May we have the same sincerity in our worship, giving attention to the words that we sing. We often say, sing up now. Sing out. Sing with all of your hearts. Those words were never repeated in heaven. Nobody had to tell the assembly in heaven, sing out now. Sing with all your heart. That's what they did. May we do the same. May the Lord bless His precious word to our hearts today. And may we continue to enjoy the worship of the Lord in a scriptural way to the glory and honor of His name. Let's bow in prayer. Most loving God and eternal Father, we bless and thank Thee for this wonderful worship service in heaven. Lord, how many things it has to teach us about worship here upon earth. I pray, dear Lord, that Thou would bless this word to every heart. And, O gracious God, may we ever, ever endeavor, Lord, to exalt Thy name. May we never bring in man-made methods. But, O Lord, grant that our worship will always be, as much as lies within us, based on Scripture. We pray in the Savior's holy and precious name.